This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It's October 11th, 2024, and we are primed and ready to go for the best football weekend of the fall to this point in college and in the NFL on a football Friday. Daniel, what's up?
It's a big one. It's a big one. You got a lot of college foosball, a little appetizer. The appetizers oftentimes at restaurants are the best thing on the menu. It's a chance for the chef to kind of show off a little bit. Some really creative ideas can come forth. It can also just be potato skins, and those are also great. And then you got your NFL foosball. You know who the marquee matchup is on Sunday? You know this one? Have you actually seen this? Washington-Baltimore. That's the one that everybody is interested in.
Yeah, the appetizer Saturday. This is a fried appetizer. This is one of the good ones here. College matchups all over the place tomorrow. Texas, Oklahoma, 1 versus 18. Penn State, USC. Even though USC is not ranked, that's a classic Big Ten matchup there. Really excited about that. You got Ohio State, Oregon, 2 versus 3. Ole Miss, LSU, 9 versus 13. And Kansas State and Colorado is going to be great. 18 Kansas State taking on the Buffaloes, trying to pull off an upset. Danny, great day of college rock. In fact, my kids are out and about tomorrow, so I'm actually going to get a couple hours in the afternoon.
Oh,
I get to just watch some college football.
Hello there.
Giddy about that. And then Sunday, in the national, the Commanders and the Ravens. What a weekend ahead of us. Should let everybody know, we've got Caps tickets to give away today at 3 o'clock when Jeff Zrebic of The Athletic joins us. And audible at the line here, 52 is Mike. 52 is Mike. Tobacco, tobacco, tobacco. 52 is Mike. You get the audible, Danny?
Yeah, I check with me. I tap my head.
Let's go 4:45. How do we feel about 4:45? Does Ryan know it? Does Ryan know it for Caps tickets?
It has been a minute.
You know how the game's played?
Yeah. You get on the line with us. You talk to Ryan first. It's weird. And then you'll talk to us. We'll be like, hello, you know how the game is played? And you say, yes. We'll ask Ryan a question. Doesn't matter if you know it or not. You're betting on whether he knows it or not. And he knows just enough to keep you guessing.
It's a very popular game.
It's very popular.
So we'll play that at 4:45. Did you watch any Thursday night football last night?
I caught some of the foosball last evening. This is the most, by the way, every season, every week is its own kind of story, right? And there are little chapters within it. I would not peg San Francisco as this kind of team, but here we are. Coming into last night, they were plus 40 as a team, I believe. I think I have these numbers right. They were plus 40 in the first half of games. They're like minus 20 in the second half of games, which explains the record that they have. And you're going, man, what a first half. And then here comes Seattle in the second half. It's played out like the whole season has.
There have been four losses all year by teams leading by 10 points in the fourth quarter, and two of them have been by San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And we were headed in that direction when they were up 23-3 at halftime, or I should say early third quarter. They scored 5 minutes into the third on a 10-yard pass from Purdy to Kittle to make it 23-3. Then a 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown by Laviska Shenault. We're good on the kickoff being changed, right? Everyone still want to complain about that? Everyone still want to get all up in arms about the new kickoff because it looks funny and they're only 5 yards apart? Shut up!
It lasted about as long as the complaints for the pitch clock. Right? I mean, Pitchcock's like, but, okay. Yeah, it's better. You know what I mean? Like, here we are.
Follow along with me, friendships. Follow along with me, pals. Do we want returns? Yes or no?
Yes.
We're getting them. Do we want the occasional big play on specials? Yes or no? Do we want touchdowns as an option on the table again? Yes or no?
Yes.
The kickoff change is working.
It's good.
Now, real ones already knew it would, because you watch this thing in the XFL. You do the spring football thing, and you already knew this was going to be just fine and dandy. We could tweak it. I got no problem tweaking it. You want to move the football up or back.
What's your tweak? You got a tweak?
I mean, people want to continue to get more returns. So, cool. Let's do that.
Back them up some?
Further penalize the touchback. Instead of starting at the 30, Roger Goodell has said we could put the ball at the 35 and we'll get even more returns.
Like the cut of his jib on that one. I love that.
Whatever you want to do to get more returns, you do it. But this works. Injuries are going to be down. Collisions are less existent. It adds to some offense and some fun. I'd have to look at the numbers. I don't know if penalties are up or down, but I think when everybody gets the hang of it and it's not new, penalties will be the same or maybe even, you know, on par with where they were before, maybe down a little bit because there's less speed and you're not getting beat as much. You don't have to grab anybody. But I think it's worked. It's been good.
I mean, you look at a punt return, for example, and I don't have the exact numbers. I wouldn't know where to even begin to try to find this sort of thing, but it feels like more than half the time, if there's a big punt return, you're sitting there going, any flags? Damn, there is one, right? It's almost always got to be a hold or got to be a block in the back. It's got to be something to spring the guy, just the nature of the play. I think the nature of this play doesn't have that same ratio because it used to be the same for kick returns where you line up right there, you got to sprint back, sprint, and then, you know, double back and deal with the blocker and everyone's got more momentum. You had to either hold someone, block them in the back, etc. I think it lends itself less to those things. Now, I know the irony here is, of course, at the home opener, Austin Ekeler went to the house. And away from the play, there was a penalty, but I don't think it's because of the nature of the play. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say, the distinguishing thing? So for punt returns, you still have that thing that ails it. But for kickoff returns, outside of the weird beginning, this is as clean as it's been in some time. If you're out, it's because you hate kick returns. That's as simple as I can make it.
Well, I just go back to the entire premise was to have more kicks returned, and that is happening. So everything else
mission
is
accomplished, yeah.
And I think it has kind of reintroduced the kick return in a lot of ways to the game. Speaking of the game this weekend that you guys care about and that we care about is the Commanders and the Ravens. 4-1 Washington, 3-2 Baltimore. Commanders are still heavy underdogs, I would say. Little surprised by the line. I will bury the lead, I guess, here to tell you right off the top, Danny. I'm sniffing a Commanders cover. And a Ravens win probably tight.
Okay.
I think Baltimore does have enough firepower, and maybe it's just my lack of full trust in Washington's defense to make the stops that they're going to need to win the game. But I think this idea that it's going to be 7, 8, 10 points, I'm not seeing that. I think the Commanders go up a weight class. I think they acquit themselves very well. And I think when this game ends, the Ravens feel really good because they just beat a solid Washington team that is 4-1. And they're now 4-2 and where they need to be. And I think Commanders fans like you guys, people like Danny and I talking about this team, and everyone in that locker room, while they won't feel it right after the game, I think they're going to feel like they're in a really good place because they just took on one of the better teams in the league and handled them very well.
I generally roll my eyes and then look for something else to listen to when people start like ripping off gambling trends as part of my sports radio listening experience. When someone's like, for the last 17 games, road teams that are 2.5-point dogs have actually covered 41% of the time. So bet the over. I'm sorry. That's not interesting to me at all. Like, talk about the football game. But here is something that I do find interesting as it pertains to this one and the league in general. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I think I saw it yesterday. It's around 80% or maybe more of teams that are huge underdogs have either covered or won outright over the course of this season. The reason I bring that up is this is not what we're used to, where there's a handful of teams that are just, you know, Sauron with the ring on, whooping everybody's ass. They're good teams. There's plenty of teams that are pretty good to good. The any given Sunday trope, of course, applies. But I don't think there are true separators yet. Even though Kansas City's 5-0, Minnesota's 5-0, they're good. They have the best resumes. They deserve all the accolades. But it's not like it was maybe a handful of years ago where you go, that's a have and that's a have not. I think a lot of teams have. Not a ton, but they've got it's spread out a little bit. Feels
or a
more,
lot of teams have not, but maybe that way. Yeah. Like it's all a bigger bucket with more teams in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this line does not make a ton of sense. Now they know what they're doing. The buildings are big for a reason, but it does not feel like these two teams should be 7 points apart. But the idea that the line is this big is a clear indictment on Washington, as if to say they expect a regression.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. They're saying, we don't think you can do it again. So either the Commanders go out and prove them wrong, or you know it's a 10-point game, and they do come back to earth a little bit. But that's what this is. I don't think it's this huge endorsement like the Ravens are just some immovable object. Mm-hmm. It's not like they've been favored by this many points in other games very frequently. Wasn't the case when they played Dallas as an example. So I think this is a still sign that everyone's not completely bought in on the Commanders. I did a radio hit in Baltimore today. By the way, here's how you know, if I could say this selfishly, that business is a booming mm-hmm. in town. Everyone's like, oh, it's better when they lose for you guys. You want them to lose.
It's the most wrong thing in the world, by
the way.
You
have no idea what you're talking about. I started my day with a hit on Fox 5. I have subsequently did an interview with Channel 9 in D.C., I have gone on a fan podcast for 40 minutes in D.C. I did a radio hit in Baltimore. I did a national phone call earlier today. Like, from 9 a.m. until 1:30, I was just doing things about this game.
Mm-hmm.
That has not happened since I was on the beat in 2012 when Robert Griffin and Washington were playing Dallas for the division.
Yeah, when they're 2-5, we're not asked to do those sorts of things.
No.
Nobody really wants to hear from us, unless a coach gets fired, and then it's back to business as usual where no one wants to hear again.
I say this, though, not to brag about the fact that it's been a fun day for me.
Yeah, good humble brag, Grant.
Thank you. Let me just pick up all of these assignments that I had today. I said this because when I was on the Baltimore interview that I did, one of the things they brought up was, yeah, but the Commanders haven't beaten anybody. And I don't remember exactly, but I think the combined record was maybe like 6-14 mm-hmm. of the four teams Washington's beaten, which I had not seen anywhere. But they were doing the, like, are they that good bit. And the point I would like to make to them or to anyone else is, it's not that the Commanders are beating teams. They have dominated teams. If they beat the Cardinals by a field goal and they beat the Browns by a walk-off Austin Seibert 41-yard
field
goal.
Yeah, we're doing yeah, but.
Sure. Then disrespect them at your own peril and all you'd like to. I wasn't impressed by their win over the Giants. I think you could rightfully say they laid an egg and got destroyed by the Bucs, a pretty good team. They barely beat New York and probably should have, could have lost that game. But you can't play that game with the last three, I don't think. Are the Bengals 1-4? Yes, but you went to their place before they were 1-4, when they still had a chance to save their season and get on track, and when Burrow was healthy with Higgins and Chase, and you got a really impressive win. Then you go to Arizona, and you bludgeon them. You didn't beat them. You take the half of the fourth quarter off. And then the Browns game, you don't even play your starters in the fourth quarter. It was such a laugher. It was so embarrassing. So the whole, who have they beaten? This is their record. This is the record of teams that they've won against. It does not work for me when you're not just winning, you're dominating.
It's an important distinction because they've won four in a row. Had they won all four like they beat the Giants, you'd go, this is fun, but come on. We know there's a regression
you'd
coming.
You'd say they're not that good. Yeah. They're squeaking out wins against bad teams. And when they play a good team, they're going to get destroyed.
We've seen that here in town. That Alex Smith, the year that he broke his leg, that's what they were doing. They were winning these weird games, these low-scoring rock fights. And you go, I'm glad they're winning. That's fun. I'd rather win than lose. But this isn't sustainable. They're not great. And you know something bad's going to happen. You didn't know it was that, by the way. But, yeah, this is different. Like, when you are playing a team that's trying to save their season on the road, Monday Night Football, and the kid plays the best game of his career, one of the best games you're going to see this season. Then you follow that up with all the accolades and all the success and all the finger guns and all the people super excited. How great is all this with an even better performance on the road without Austin Eckler? Then you follow that up with a game you could have scored 50 against a pretty good Cleveland Browns defense. It's not like they're eking it out, right? I mean, you look at some of these games that other teams are playing that are in their same bucket where whether you win or lose, it's like, nip and tuck. I mean, Houston, who I think is really good, just did not deserve to beat Jacksonville, who's garbage, and their coach is about to get fired. Like, if it's that, you're going, okay, I'm a bit more skeptical. There's a reason for optimism here that's beyond they've won four in a row, right? You can get heads on a coin toss four straight times. It's different, though.
It feels like the Commanders are going to have to stop the run if they're going to win. There's probably a path to the Ravens running the ball really well and still losing, because points ultimately do come from the passing game. But if the Ravens are running the ball, they probably have everything they want at their disposal. The formula I've drawn up in talking about this game all day, I do not think the Commanders' defense can stop the Ravens' offense consistently. I don't think they are built to shut down Henry and Jackson. I just don't think it's a fair ask. I know they were pretty good against Arizona, and they were very good against Cleveland. But Deshaun Watson is now walking through that door, and that unserious joke of an offense is not the assignment this weekend. So here is where I'm at on this. I think it's a game where you need to be preaching all week, Joe Witt. You know, his ball is life bit.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to make me five plays. That's what I need. I need five game-changing plays. Ideally, two of them, at least. Maybe three of them are takeaways. There's going to be, I'll give you 55 that don't go our way. They get a 4-yard, 7-yard, 9-yard run, a 14-yard pass. Lamar rips off a 21-yard scramble on 3rd and 3. I'm going to give you, if you want 55 bad plays, you can have them, defense. I need five really good ones. Because even if they score in the 20s, if I give my offense a short field a couple of times, if I generate a takeaway, if I get a big sack fumble that puts them behind the sticks on a big drive, and I make that one of my plays, I've got a chance to win. You know, coaches are always up to their, like, shtick. You know, they're breaking a watermelon or, you know, whoever has the biggest hit holds the bat. You got the hit of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
My shtick this week that I came up with, if I'm Coach Paulson, is like Thanos' hand. Okay, so everybody walks into the meeting room on defense, and I've got a little gem on every person's desk.
Oh.
And I want five of those bitches at the end of this game handed to me.
Grant's going five Infinity Stones, okay? Darius? I like this.
I want five of those put into each one of these fingers, and you make the play, you get the takeaway, put a gem on the hand, right? You get a short field for my offense, put a gem on the hand. And if I got five of those, we win the football game. Who's bringing me my stones this week? That is my bit if I am Joe Witt with this defense. You're going to get yours, Baltimore. Lamar, really good at this. Derrick Henry, big bad man, sent from another planet to run people over and stiff arm them into Wednesday. I need five plays. Can I make five plays? And that's the whole game for me.
Best formula to me, I smell what you're cooking, by the way. Best formula to me is Baltimore hasn't had to do this. They usually don't, by the way. They're good at what they do, and they end up with 12, 13, 14 wins a year because of it. But if you make them play from behind and make them a drop-back passing team, they can beat you that way. But they're not as good beating you that way as they are playing their way. Their way is it's Derrick Henry early and often, mixed in with some Lamar keepers, mixed in when you get tired of both of those things. Then it's the tight end in the seam or somebody down the football field or a deep shot or something to that effect. The thing that Washington hasn't done very much of, and I wouldn't either, by the way, is leave their corners on an island. They're terrified, rightfully so, of their cornerback play. I wonder if this is the week you do it. I wonder if this is the week where you say, you know what? Big boy pantaloons on time, Noah Igbinoghene. Big boy pantaloons time on Benjamin St. Juiced. We're going to walk some folks down into that box, close to that line of scrimmage. You guys aren't going to have much help. Have at it. We're going to thump a little bit. We're going to try to win a pushing contest early. Then we'll help you later. Do you think they have the chutzpah? Do they have the stones? Do they have, you got the sand to give them a grand finale? You think they got the chance to do that? I don't know that I would. It scares me. But this may be the week you see it.
I don't trust my corners enough to play that game.
Even this week?
No, because I think Zay Flowers is a dude.
Oh, he's good.
I think if you do that, Zay Flowers goes like 8 for 114. And probably scores a couple majors.
Because they're...
You know,
that's a good bet. Because like this to me, this defense is not good enough yet. And by the way, two good weeks in a row for them. They've turned into good assignments against Cleveland. I think you and I could have coordinated a pretty good defense, but that's a aside. I still don't trust them to be able to stop a bunch of things at once. So this is like, which hole do I want to plug? And if we decide the most important thing to plug is running, stopping the run, or stopping gash runs, keeping everybody in front of us, maybe that's the play. I don't know, though. I mean, to me, I think they're just going to be willing to deal with body blows all game long.
So here's my question for you guys. Will the Commanders be able to stop the Ravens' running game? And we're not talking about holding them for, 25 attempts for 70 yards.
Yeah, nobody has, by the way. Literally nobody.
It's the best rushing attack in the National Football League right now with Washington. Are the Commanders going to be able to shut down the run effectively, or is that going to cost them the game? That's the question. Let's open up the phones. 800 636-1067. Want to dive into some of the numbers on the Ravens run game next. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You're not necessarily approaching him, and you're approaching the offense. Okay, you got to be in your gap. You have to be able to defeat blocks. Send them where you want them to send them, and in that standpoint, from a tackling standpoint, you know, you talk about, and this every week, it's not just with Derek, you have a tackling plan for every back that you have, and you try to stick to the plan. And so we have our tackling plan for him, just like we had it last week, and that doesn't change.
That's Joe Witt Jr., the defensive coordinator for the Commanders, on defending Derrick Henry and the Ravens. Welcome back to G&D on The Fan. Baltimore owns both the NFL's number one rushing offense and rushing defense in the league. Get this. They have rushed for 211 yards per game. They have allowed 60 rushing yards per game. That is a juicy little discrepancy. The Ravens are plus 754 in rushing differential this year, second highest ever to the 1984 Bears, who had four better yards, plus 758. Through five games into a season. You're going back to the 1970 merger. That's pretty staggering. And that's why I would say, Danny, on paper, it's a bad matchup for Washington, because it is a team that can stop the run, that can force you to throw the football, except that so far nobody has stopped the Commanders running the football. So it's a power versus power, like good on good, something's got to give matchup where you think you can stop the run, cool. I run it great. Let's see.
Yeah, my college teammate, he was our number two as a freshman. Named Adam Bolisic, had a nasty curveball, left-handed, was filthy. Scouting report says, do not throw this guy curveballs. He didn't care about that because he goes, he hadn't seen my curveball. And most of the time, he was right. So, like, I wonder if Washington has that same viewpoint where they go, they stopped the Raiders. They stopped, you know, I don't know, pick your middling
Cincinnati.
Rush offense. Yeah, Cincinnati, who's here to throw it. They didn't stop us. They didn't see our looks.
The only wrench I'll throw into this is maybe no Brian Robinson, who again today didn't practice, and who is listed as a game-time decision. Did not play in the second half, although supposedly did not have a setback. I told you, though, in the locker room, he was in a bad foul mood.
He was annoyed.
And he just looked salty and just didn't want to talk. I thought it was because they didn't play him in the second half and he was healthy. I guess it's possible it's because he just didn't feel right.
Yeah, this thing is nagging, maybe. Yeah, it's
who
ongoing.
Knows? They have said he's a game-time decision. My guess is he plays, and that he's just not 100% or, you know, isn't going to be four quarters of Brian Robinson, kind of like we saw last week. But regardless, if he's not there, it is a big loss, because you still have a lot of talent with Eckler, and the way McNichols has run, he's been very good. But that's your battering ram. That is your thumper that kind of softens
everything up, yeah.
And he has proven to be really, really important. But they have the number one rushing tailback in the NFL in Derrick Henry, 572 yards, six a pop. They have the number eight rusher in the league and their quarterback, Lamar Jackson. So both sides of the ball, run game is kind of king for the Ravens, and it's why this matchup's so fun, because it's what the Commanders have done so well. The question for you guys, is Washington going to be able to stop the Ravens running game enough to win this game? Shane's in D.C. What's up, Shane?
What's going on, Commander? What's up, Grant?
Hey,
how y'all doing today? Happy Friday.
What's up, brother?
The answer's hell no. No, no, no. I mean, look, this is a Derrick Henry is, like you said, he is a different kind of running back. I mean, he's bigger than most of your defensive ends and linebackers, and he can run. You know, and plus, you got the Lamar Jackson. No, I don't think so. But here's the thing, though. They're not seeing our running game like we have with Daniels. He's the same mirror image of Lamar Jackson. So You know, what's to say he don't go out there and rush for 100 yards? You know, I don't want him to rush for 100 yards, but, you know, I don't think so. I think that this they knew what they were doing when they signed Derrick Henry, but it's going to be hard to stop. But if they do stop him, the Commanders will outright win this game. You got to stop the run. You stop the run, you win the game.
Yeah, make Lamar Jackson win from the pocket. That has kind of been the book for a long, long time. And most of the time, we've seen this year, frankly, with Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Good luck keeping him in the pocket. I mean, yeah. it's so easy to say it, Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee. Here's how you beat Jaden Daniels.
You just do that.
Okay.
Good luck.
Nobody's been able to.
Right.
Maybe the Ravens will be the first. But just sticking with the Washington defense against the Ravens run game, if they cannot stop the run enough to stay in the game, it could get lopsided.
Yep. That's the formula, right?
The question is, are they going to be able to affect Baltimore's running game enough to win this thing?
I don't think the defense can. And this is my axiom for baseball kind of applies. Like, I don't get mad when Paul Skeens shoves it on you. He shoves it on everybody, right? This Ravens rush offense is excellent. Full stop. That's the end of the thought. They're excellent. They run it on everybody whenever they want at will. Washington's defense is not better than everybody else they face, including Kansas City, Buffalo, etc. They're going to run it on you. The only way to stop the Ravens' run game is with Washington's offense having a lead.
I think that they can. I just think they're going to have to commit so many resources that it leads to big problems the other way. Like, you go bare front with five across, you're blitzing A-gaps, and you're mugging the middle of the formation, and you're getting Luvu and Wagner and these guys coming downhill to help in these run fits. And now all of a sudden, their tight ends are eating in the linebacker.
I was going to say, like,
level.
A tight end throwback play, you can already see.
I mean, there's just so much stuff that mm-hmm. you open up. So it's almost like, do you want to take your chances with them just running the ball normally and make them matriculate and hope they get a holding penalty or fumble? Or would you rather give them, like, almost always my philosophy is, give a team the run game, take away the explosives in the passing game. And in this game, I just think the Ravens want you to basically give them the run game. So I'm going to try to take that away and say, if Lamar throws it 40 times, I'm going to bet on some inaccuracy. I'm going to bet he misses some guys. I'm going to bet that a ball bounces off one of their mediocre Rashad Bateman's hands and into my waiting DB's hands. I'd rather that than just Henry plowing forward. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey,
I love y'all. I love y'all's show, man. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say this real quick, because obviously you can hear by my accent, I am a Baltimorean through and through. But what I will say is, I think y'all sleeping on Patrick Ricard. I mean, I've been listening to every show all week. Patrick Ricard's name hasn't been mentioned. Justice Hill's name has barely been mentioned. Ronnie Stanley is having a renaissance year. Nobody mentioned Tyler Linderbaum. I don't think that the Commanders is going to be able to stop the run. Because just the way Patrick Ricard has been playing at an elite level when it comes to fullback.
And well, I was going to say, he's a blocker, though. He's not. I mean, he's not like he's going to run the ball all that much.
No,
I mean,
on fourth and one, he might.
His last carry was 2022, my guy.
Yeah, he's not going to run the ball, obviously, but we're just talking about just pure blocking schemes. It's not going to happen. And on the other side, because everybody's been talking about the Raiders game, and I'm going to land my plane by saying this. Everybody talk about the Raiders game, but context, because y'all right down the road, but y'all haven't unpacked context for your fan base. The Ravens gave up a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ball was really just starting to get his feet wet a little bit, and Lamar had a turnover. And on top of that, we already beat a better quarterback that's mobile in Josh Allen. So at the end of the day, this is why the fan base in Baltimore, just like when you was on that podcast, we looking at y'all laughing, talking all these predictions, is because we've seen this before.
Well, maybe. Let's see.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's see what happens on Sunday. I know this. You lost to the Raiders, bro. Remember that? Well, we had a 10-point lead. What's that get you? Gardner Minshew moved the ball on Baltimore the entire fourth quarter, and they beat the Ravens. They were 2-2, and they should be 2-3 right now, if not for a bad hold on a missed field goal in overtime. So let's not pretend like you're, you know, Goliath and Washington's David. Washington might be David, but who's half of Goliath? That's what you are. You should be 2-3 right now. You've been fine. Put your chest back in a little bit. That's what I would say to the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, this to me, again, is not about this year's Ravens as much as it is the track record of this organization over the last handful of years,
sure,
where they deserve a lot of benefit
ghost,
of the
play
doubt.
A ghost. I'm just saying that this year, they're very okay so far.
And that to me is indisputable. The results have been mixed to this point. Now, I think there's a lot of people, maybe like me, maybe a bit more bullish than you, which I think is reasonable and fine, that say they'll eventually catch their stride and they'll be one of the teams that's around in December and January and they'll be relevant and really, really good. And that's based on past track record. Not this year so far. There's no way you could tell me the homework they've turned in this year is this juggernaut that can't be stopped. This is not a couple years ago where they were the one seed with 14 wins.
They're 31st against the pass in a 32-team league.
Yeah.
They're 26th at the points they've given up. They're 25th in red zone defense. They just had to hire Dean Pease to help out their 32-year-old defensive coordinator. Like, let's not pretend like they're 5-0 and they're the favorite to get to the Super Bowl right now. I'm not crowning Washington, but you shouldn't crown Baltimore either necessarily. But if you want me to shout out Patrick Ricard, I got nothing but love for him. He's one of the best blocking fullbacks in the league. He looks like me if I was 6 foot. He's just a big, fat fullback who just...
He hunts, man.
Literally just wants to go helmet to helmet in the hole with a linebacker.
It doesn't seem like a lot of fun to play defense against that guy.
No. I guarantee that guy weighs 315. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He is just a big... You'll know him. You may not know what he looks like.
You'll see it.
Just look for the fat guy who's the lead blocker who's beating people up.
Is that lineman lost? Why is he lining up there?
Let's go to Trav in Calvert on G&D. What's up, Trav?
Hey, what's up, G&D? I'm so glad I got to answer after radio. I've been hearing nothing but Baltimore fans talk smack all day.
Well, see, I got a little irritable there. Don't call a DC radio show,
man,
on Friday
I'm
and try
glad
to sun
you
me.
No,
don't pat me on the top of the head and try to sun me. Wait till Monday when you guys win and then call me. But today, you you are looking up at me in the standings. You are lucky to be 3-2 right now. Lucky.
Go ahead, Grant.
Don't sun me on a Friday.
Mm.
Bunch of Jags that lost to the Raiders. Your quarterback turns the ball over all the time. When he improves a little bit, he'll be Jaden Daniels. Call me then. Anyway.
Exactly.
Trav,
exactly.
Go ahead.
All right. So I was telling Ryan, I already think that we're going to hold them to like one. I said 115, but then when I heard the stats you gave out, I'll say like 150. We'll hold them to. And I think that'll be enough. Because we already beat the Bengals. They barely beat the Bengals. They only beat them because they muffed the freaking field goal kick. So I think we're going to put at least 10 on them. We're going to shut that down.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
See, if a Commanders fan called up and said the exact same thing he just said, I'd be like, no, yeah, you're right. I totally. But I'm a Ravens fan. You guys, you're making me laugh. Go beat the Raiders and come back to me, losers. Go give up another 10-point fourth quarter lead. Go let Danny cram you in the offseason again and then come out and play like butt for a month. I'm so tired of Ravens fans all week telling me what we are and what they are. It's annoying to me.
But it's not a rivalry in any way. It's not.
On the field? No, it is not.
Not on the field.
Baltimore and Washington don't like each other very much. Is it a geographical rivalry? Sure. I'm just not going to be sunned by a Ravens fan. The epitome of mediocrity through 5 weeks. My team, good. That's what good looks like. Now, what's going to happen this weekend? I'm picking you to win. So call me on Monday after you do and rub my face in it. But right now, you don't get to talk trash to me. You're below me in the standings, and you lost to Gardner Minshew, loser. Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan. It is a great football weekend. Texas, Oklahoma, Penn State, USC, Ohio State, Oregon, Ole Miss, LSU, Kansas State, Colorado tomorrow. NFL games headlined as always. As is always the case.
Per the norm.
By your Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens. Danny, we're talking about that vaunted Ravens running game. Nobody's been able to stop it. It does not seem like the Commanders are built to do so.
No, and to me, again, this is my theme throughout. The way to stop it is to have a lead. It's to make the Raiders, I almost call them the Raiders, make the Ravens do something they don't normally do. When they play with their plan, they win 12, 13, 14 games a year. You get them out of their plan, you got a better shot. doesn't guarantee you a win, but it's your best chance. So you get a lead somehow, whether it's a turnover early, whether your offense is humming early, whatever. You get them out of their game plan, straight up drop back, I'll take my chances then. But straight up trying to play the run? No, nobody stopped it. They are worse than the defenses the Ravens have already played in a couple instances. Nobody has stopped this running game.
Baltimore is the better team, in my opinion. Lamar is a two-time MVP. Derrick Henry is the perfect fit. You and I and everybody else, I think, probably with an opinion in this medium, thought that that was such a perfect
spot. Feels like he's always
been
a Raven. He's always been there.
Like, what a nightmare that is now to defend in read option when Lamar's in the gunner and pistol with Derrick Henry behind or next to him. It's going to be a problem. I think it's about generating a couple of takeaways, and frankly, this offense just have to put up points.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bengals did last week. Lest we forget, Cincinnati did whatever they wanted when they had the football against Baltimore. Joe Burrow had a field day, one of the top days of his career, threw for about 400 yards and five touchdowns. Got intercepted once and was one too many mistakes. You know, they have a field goal attempt where the holder can't get the hold down, otherwise they win the football game. You cannot have those types of mistakes. I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but you're going to have to score 30 or so in this game, and then you're going to have to generate a few takeaways. That's the formula.
Yeah.
It's not easy. By the way, you probably are going to do that like 15, 18, 20% of the time. That's probably about what we should expect is the chance that they win this thing. But if you do, boy, oh boy, is it going to be fun around here come Monday. Let's go to Reese in St. Mary's on Grant and Danny. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
I think that we're not going to stop the run, but I think what's going to happen is we're going to stop them when they try to go for it on fourth and three and things like that. We're going to beat them with the pass game. We're not going to sit there and ram out here into the wall because they got a good run defense. We're going to outscore them, but they're going to lose because they're going to be going for it on fourth and three, fourth and five. We're going to get a couple tip balls from Lamar Jackson hitting it, you know, tipping the balls. We're gonna play a solid defensive game, but we're not going to stop the run. We're going to beat them with offense and them going for it and disrespecting us on fourth and three, fourth and five, and things of that nature.
They are the original Commanders on fourth down, where they have the cheat code in Jackson. Now we have the cheat code in Daniels, and they never went for a fourth down they didn't get for a couple of years, it felt like. Right now, Washington's 8-for-8 on fourth down, by the way. But I would take a solid defensive performance in a heartbeat. Ken's in Leesburg. What's up, Ken?
Hey, big time fan, long time listener, first time caller, guys.
Oh, well, thank you.
Jim's on it. He's ready.
Yeah, I don't think we can stop Derrick Henry. Like you said earlier, Grant, we'd have to stack the box, and then you got Flowers and Andrews and Likely, and I just see a hard time stopping their offense.
And guess what, Ken? Even that doesn't always work. He's run against stacked boxes, eight men or more in the box.
Exactly.
28% of the time this season, seventh most, and he's still leading the league in rushing yards.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The only hope I think we have is scoring more points than them.
Yep.
And honestly, we haven't faced, other than the Bucs, we haven't faced a defense like the Ravens, I don't think. They shut down Buffalo. They made Buffalo look elementary. I mean, I honestly, this will be the test for Daniels.
Appreciate you, dude. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the formula, how good the Ravens defense is, I think, is still up for question. They played great in that Buffalo game, certainly, right, as they got a lead.
And they have had a really good game.
Yeah, but you know, there have been some moments where you go, what are you guys doing? And again, they brought in a consultant who was there for a long time as the defensive coordinator, not because things are going great.
No,
you know
they
what I mean?
Just wanted to show Dean Pease how awesome they are. Like, I know you didn't believe us, but come see how cool everything
is. Isn't everything perfect?
And how good a job Zach Orr's doing. Let's go to Gene in Battamore, home of them Ravens, hon. What's up, Gene?
How y'all fellas doing today?
Good, man.
Doing great.
I listen all the time from Baltimore most of the time. So I just want to say I love you guys, but Grant, you did wrong today.
Uh-oh.
You did wrong because if you didn't watch the Cincinnati game last week, Lamar Jackson threw for 300-something yards, four touchdowns, hit like eight different receivers.
He played the Bengals, bro. You would have thrown for 279 and two.
The Bengals are, before the season is over, the Bengals will be in the playoffs.
Okay.
The Bengals are not a sorry
team.
We
watched Washington play them a month ago. Jaden Daniels is still throwing the ball to Terry McLaurin.
Okay. This week, I guarantee you, Baltimore will put up 40 points. That's all I want to say.
Okay, I mean, they might, because the Commanders' defense sucks. I don't know how that what that has to do with Lamar Jackson, though. Let me tell you something about Lamar Jackson, okay? Right now, his completion percentage over expected is minus 4.1. If he improves a little bit, he'll be even with Deshaun Watson, okay? If he improves a little bit, he'll be even with Caleb Williams. He's identical to Andy Dalton, and he's right there with Trevor Lawrence, down at the bottom of the NFL. Out of his hands, 65% of his passes should be complete. 69% of his passes should be complete, and 65% have been. Minus 4.1. Jaden Daniels, number one in the NFL, plus 6%. Joe Flacco, you know
him.
Plus 5.5%.
Is he
Brock Purdy, Derek Carr, Jalen Hurts. That's the top of the league. Kirk O'Chains, Joe Burrow. You got to scroll way down toward the bottom to find Lamar Jackson. I don't want to hear about how he's throwing the ball right now. Now, he has the benefit of getting to play Washington secondary this week. So things will trend up.
Those numbers might go up.
A little bit. But relax. Here's a list of all of his signature playoff performances. You can miss me with all of all the things you're going to do this weekend.
Mm.
You just can. I'm sorry.
I think this is Danny talking now for a second. Yeah. I think he's going to win the MVP again this year. He's ninth in passing, eighth in rushing.
He's a dual threat. We love that.
Well,
he can't get enough. He runs all over the place. It's
really
awesome to watch.
He's really good.
But this guy's talking about him as a passer. That's what he was talking about. Minus 4.1% of expected completion percentage this year. So he might win the MVP award again. He can make plays. He's an incredible player. One of the best in the league. And he deserves both of his MVP awards, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He also deservedly doesn't have any hardware in the postseason because teams have kept him in the pocket and hadn't worked out that well. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's talk to Jeff Zrebic next of The Athletic. He covers the Ravens. We'll scout the opponent on G&D.